Well, it's so great to see you. I'm so thankful for our church. How many are thankful for Church on the Rock? Each and every week, you guys are really an oasis of positivity. And I just thank you for being you. We've been out of town on vacation, and it's so good to be home. And I'm blessed because Dad has given me the responsibility of concluding his series on the authority of the believer. How many have enjoyed that series? Hasn't that been great? And if you're taking notes today, we're going to continue on with the name of Jesus. And you can write that there at the top, in the name of Jesus. And this week, Dad and I, we were out, like I said, at vacation. One morning, we were given the job to go get everyone coffee. And we love to go to new coffee shops and find, I don't know, just cool little places that we never been to before. And we went into the coffee. We had all the coffee in our arms, and we're walking out. We're going out to the car, and I got my keys. I walk up to the car, and I hit the unlock button on that key that I have, and nothing happened. The car doors, I didn't hear that sound, you know? And I thought, well, that's interesting. So I go up to the door, and I try to open it. I jerk on it pretty hard, and man, what's going on here? So I hit the button again. Nothing happens. And Dad's asking, Daniel, what's going on over there? I'm trying, Dad. I don't know what's going on. Like, I'm hitting the unlock button, but nothing's happening. So I continue to hit it. And then, you know, I go on a jerk on the door even a little harder, seeing if I can. And then I'm thinking, oh, man, did the battery die on my key? What is going on? I can't get in the car. Then my mind starts racing. Oh, no, now I got to call AAA. I got to, you know, get some help. It's going to be like 3 hours waiting out here in the sun for the tow truck to come, you know. And then I look through the window, and I saw something very concerning. I was at the wrong car. I was at somebody else's car that looked exactly like mine. You know how a lot of those rental cars, they all look the same. But I was at a car that looked exactly like mine. So the problem really wasn't the key. I had the key in my hand. The problem wasn't really the technology. I had the technology right there. The problem wasn't even that car. The problem was me. I was in the wrong position. I was in the wrong place. And you know, we've been talking about the authority of the believer, and I've heard from some of you in the past, and even myself. When I'm talking today, I want you to know I'm preaching this to myself. Dad always says you never teach something or preach something that first doesn't minister to you. So if you're convicted today, realize I'm just as convicted as you are. But a lot of times we wonder, I said the name of Jesus, why didn't it work? You might be having the right tool, but you could be in the wrong position. You could be in the wrong place. A couple weeks ago, Dad said this phrase. I don't know if you caught it, but it really jumped out to me and kind of gave me the direction for this message, and that is, you can't use the authority unless you're under authority. I'm going to say it again because it was so good and it went off of my spirit. You can't use the authority unless you're under authority. I'm like most Christians. I love that verse, James 4, verse 7, that says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But I always leave out the first part of that verse, which says, submit to God. You ever read that part? Some of you are like, I didn't even know that was in there, right? But at the beginning of that verse is what Pastor was talking about today. Before the promise, there's a premise. Before we experience the promise of authority, we have to submit ourselves to God. So here we go. We're going to jump into the Word and encourage you. Keep a big smile on your face as we're talking today. This is kind of like a tough workout. You're going to be glad when it's over. Okay. All right. Here we go. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Verse 6, who being in very nature, God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Boy, aren't you thankful for Jesus? Verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name. Everyone say the name. That is above every name. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus. Everyone say at the name. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, as I was looking at these scripture verses, I was doing some study on this. Something that kind of stuck out to me was, did you guys see there's no mention? The word mention is not there. Now follow me. Stay with me. Growing up, I always used to think that it was at the mention of his name, right? And I love that song. We sing a song. Neil knows what I'm talking about. We sing a song here just a couple weeks back. Just the mention of his name. Just the mention. You know what I'm talking about? But I always thought that that was in the verse, the mention. But it doesn't. It says at the name. Everyone say at the name. There's no word. So I thought, well, I'll look that up in other translations. I looked it up in other translations, and mention is still not there. I begin to look deeper, and we find out here in verse 10, the word name right there is translated in the Greek to the word onoma. If you're taking notes, you spell that O-N-O-M-A. And the actual meaning of that word name is rank. Everyone say rank. So one way we could actually read this verse is, at the rank of Jesus, every knee should bow. One way we could read this verse is, at the position of Jesus, every knee should bow. At the place of Jesus, at Jesus' stature, right, every knee should bow. So if you're taking notes today, I'm going to break this apart in a bit, but the big idea is this. The name of Jesus is not just a word, it's a location. Now let that sink in. What do you mean, a location? What I mean is, the name of Jesus, using it and walking in our authority, a lot of us think the name of Jesus is like a magic word, like abracadabra. If I say Jesus, that's not how it works. It's two parts. You gotta have the key, but you gotta be in the right place. You gotta have the name of Jesus, but you gotta live in the name of Jesus. You have to live in his character. You have to live the way that he lived. You have to act the way that he acts. So for those of you like myself, who many times we say, man, I'm using the name of Jesus, but I'm seeing no results. Respectfully, and I'm saying this from a place of love, I really want to help us all, myself included. Respectfully, I ask you, you might be using the name of Jesus, but are you living in the name of Jesus? I'm going to say it again. You might be putting in Jesus' name at the end of your prayer, but are you living a life that reflects Jesus? Are you following me? Keep a big smile on your face, because that's where the power comes from. It's not just by saying the name, it's by living in the name. It's like trying to, you know, use a hairdryer that you don't got plugged in. Nothing's going to happen. You're going to sit there and get real frustrated. And that's what happens to a lot of Christians. They get real frustrated using the name, but they're not living in the name. What did Jesus say? Ask anything. That was weird. That was weak. Sorry, not weird. Jesus said, ask anything. Some of you think, again, that's just a word. But what Jesus is saying there, in my name, in my spirit, in my nature, love, selflessness. Am I living a holy life? Am I seeking God with my whole heart? You see, to use the name of Jesus, what we're saying is, you have to know Jesus. You still love me? To use the name and see the results of the name, you have to know Jesus. What do you mean? I thought we could just say the name. Think about this. I think there's a place in God where each one of us could get so close to God that a lot of the things we've been trying to use the name on would just happen effortlessly. Anybody believe that? I think about Charles Finney. He was a great old evangelist, a revivalist. And he walked so close to the Lord, so near to his heart. He had such character of Christ that it says he would walk into factories back during the early 1800s, and people that were unsaved, without him saying a word, would just fall to their knees and ask, what must I do to be born again? They would repent right there just by being in his presence. He didn't have to say in the name, but because he was walking in the name, things just lined up. Think about Peter in the Bible. It says that his shadow would fall on the sick and they would be born again. He wouldn't have to lay hands on anybody, but because he was in the name, the results came. Think now. What did the psalmist say? The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous, they what? They, the righteous what? They into it, and they are saved. That's in the name. Many of us, again, I'm preaching at myself, we see no power because there's been no preparation. Many of us, we see no authority because there's no authenticity. Still love me? Back in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s, I'm going to reveal my age today, skateboarding came on the scene. There's a real bit, it's like it became real popular. I remember when I was like, you know, in my middle school and then coming into high school. And I got into it just like everybody else, and it was a whole lot of fun. But there was these guys, you know, and they would have all the stuff. Their parents went out and got them. Now, these brands aren't even around anymore, but I remember, anybody remember Vision Streetwear? Anybody remember Airwalk? I mean, they had all this cool stuff, you know, and I was like, oh, man, they had the nicest deck and the skateboard and the best of everything, and they could talk the talk, and they just looked the part. But then when it came to skating, they couldn't skate at all. They'd sit there on the side and they'd give you advice, and they could, boy, they had their Trans World Skate Magazine, and they had, you know, Thrasher under their arm, but you know what? They still had no idea how to skate. And you know what we called those folks? We called them posers. Anybody remember that? We called them posers. We said, these guys, they have all this stuff, but they're just posing. They're really not authentically skaters. There's not even a scratch on their board. They even carried it weird. We'd make fun of them. You know, look at these guys, these posers. Well, you know, that's the way the authority, why one of the reasons we don't see the authority work is we have a lot of us, we're posing. We can talk the talk. We can carry a big Bible. We got Joy FM and Boost going. But we're posing. We're posing behind closed doors. We don't know where we don't know the Lord. And yet we expect to walk in that authority. When you and I in the Christian walk, this is something I think it really pertains to the Christian walk, is that whenever we offer something to the Lord, whether that is, and this goes for all of us on stage, this is for me and Dad when we're offering a sermon to the Lord, where there's somebody singing up here, anybody serving in this church, whether it's us using our authority, when we engage in any type of spiritual act, prayer, worship, service, the quality of that act matters. The quality of the heart behind that act matters. To God, we see all through the Bible, the origin of where that act came from matters. The motive matters. The spirit with which it's done in, it matters. And what happens with a lot of us, we know the right things to do. We know the right words to say in the name of Jesus. But where the power comes from, we're missing it in that spot right there. Which is what's behind it. Are we posing? Are we truly authentic? Look at Cain and Abel in the Bible. You remember that story? Cain and Abel, right? The two brothers, right? Cain, he brings a pretty good offering to the Lord, right? I'm sure it looked amazing on the outside, probably this beautiful harvest and all this stuff. But that's not what God told him to bring, right? He didn't give his best. He didn't offer something that cost him something. But his brother Abel, on the other hand, right? He brought his best. And he sacrificed the Lord, and God accepted his offering. It's the same way with our authority. Our authority, if we plan on using it, seeing it be effective, it has to come from a place of authenticity. I was thinking a few years back when my kids were little, they came to me and Tamara one day, and they said, hey, you know, this was Ava. She's like, you know, Mom and Dad, we'd like to send you guys on a date. And I was like, how are you going to send us on a date? You don't make any money, right? But anyway, they were little, you know, and so what they did was they made up the living room, and they put a little table out there, and they made like candlelight and all this stuff, you know. It was a little plastic, I think, Fisher-Price table, and they were going to make dinner for us, right? And they had music going, and I think they put Tamara's favorite movie on, Love Story, that Sabrina movie, you know, from years ago. I know. Torture. But they made this little dinner for us, you know, and let me tell you, it was the worst food I've ever had on a date. It was terrible. It was terrible. But you know what? It was the best date I ever went on. And you know why? Because I knew the heart that came behind it. I knew the motive that was behind it. And you know, with God, that's the same way. When we are doing anything for him, he's not looking at how great it looks. I've been in worship services with the best musicians, the best preachers, the best of everything in that service except God's presence. Now, most people can't recognize that today, but it's the truth. Then I've been in other services where it's been one man with an acoustic guitar, sings off key, and guess what? The Spirit of God falls there. Why? Because his heart is right. Because he's in the right place. Now, I want to take you to a story in the Bible here. Everyone doing okay? All right. I want to take you to the story in the Bible here of some posers, right? We got a story in the Bible, some posers right here in the Bible. Acts 19, verse 13 through 16. It says, some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists, stay with me, I know when you see an exorcist, you're like, what in the world? Exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. Now notice, not the Jesus I know, but the Jesus Paul proclaims. Seven sons of a Jewish chief priest named Siva were doing this. But the evil spirit, the demon, answered them and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? And the man who was in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them, and overpowered them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Notice, he knew Jesus, and the demon said, look at this, the demon said Jesus. Did you see that? Did the demon say Jesus' name? Did he fall back to the ground screaming and burning? So is the power in the actual word? The power is, do you know Jesus? Authority in Jesus' name, it flows out of a relationship with him. Do you understand that? It's not on your reputation. It's not ritual. It doesn't come from title, networking, or talent. It's only going to come if you truly have a relationship with Jesus Christ. These gentlemen right here, they were using the name, but not living in the name. They knew the name Jesus. Paul knew, but they had no relationship. They weren't living there. They weren't letting the name govern their life. You see, when you live inside the name is ruling you. I'm going to say that again. When you live in the name is ruling you. Jesus is not just Savior, he's Lord. The reason why Christianity in the U.S. is powerless today is because it's kingless. Did you hear me? Christianity in the U.S., they love the Savior part of this thing. He saved me, but they don't want to make him Lord. They don't want to give him full reign. You see, when you're ruled by the name, there's no room for debate. You let it discipline you. You let it order your life. You let it make decisions for you. It tells you who to hang out with. It tells you where to go. It tells you that you shouldn't have a secret app on your phone where you're having secret conversations behind your wife's or your husband's back. It tells you you shouldn't be looking at websites you shouldn't be looking at. It tells you you should be living a life of integrity. When I live under the name, I don't know about you, but I love breakfast. Is anybody breakfast people here? A few. I got a witness in the house. I love my eggs and bacon and toast and all that in the morning. I love to make myself breakfast. And you know, when you live under the name, you might be making breakfast in the morning. You're getting really excited to enjoy that. But all of a sudden, you hear the Holy Spirit say to you, you know what today, Daniel, I'd like for you to fast this day. Wait, what? I'd like for you to fast today. I'd like you to fast today for the church. Or I'd like you to fast today for your family. If you're living under the name, you say, okay, Lord, you give my dog Lexi's very happy because she gets the breakfast. If you live under the name, when pastors give an offering, and you hear the Holy Spirit say, hey, you need to give a little bit more to missions this week, guess what? My decision's made. If the name is ruling me, if I hear the Holy Spirit say, turn off the phone, turn off the social media, go off that for a while, turn off distractions, pray more, all these things. If I live under the name, guess what? I'm going to do it. But we have a lot of folks in the church today that are naming the name, but they're not living in the name. Are you still with me? They're not living according to God's government. They're not living according to God's rules. They're not living according to what he said. And they expect to have his authority. They expect to have him just show up and be there for them when we're not there for him at all. So if you and I, if we want to walk in authority, we have to live in the name, not just use the name. We have to live according to his nature, to his character, close to him. Amen? So I want to give you three simple ways. Ever say three simple ways? We're almost done here on how you and I can live in the name. Everyone say in the name. So that we can see his power and authority released in our lives. And this is going to go quick. Everyone's all right, right? All right. So number one, how do we live in the name? Is we live a life of integrity. Now, the third commandment out of the 10, Exodus 20, verse 7, I know you remember this from Sunday school, is you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Now, when I was growing up, I always thought that meant I shouldn't be cussing. Not to you, anybody else think that? That's what I heard in Sunday school. Do not be saying profanity, not be doing those things. It does mean that, but it goes even further. So don't walk out of here today saying, Daniel gave me permission to cuss. Daniel says, awesome. You just got a little beeper with you now everywhere you go. That's not what I'm saying at all. Profanity is still not good. But it actually goes deeper. Commentators tell us, Exodus 20, verse 7, that in Hebrew, that word take there is nasa, N-A-S-A. And it means to bear, to carry, and to lift up. What it means is bearing God's name as his representative. So what this commandment is actually saying to us is do not bear or carry the Lord's name in an empty, false, or hypocritical way. That's what it's saying. What it's saying is don't say I'm a Christian and treat your family like trash all week long. Don't say I'm a Christian businessman, but I try to cheat. I try to deceive people. That's what the commandment is there. Is it saying you have to live according to who you say you are? You can't be a poser, right? You have to live according to, if you say you're representing Christ, and we've all got a ways to go. I realize that. But if we want to walk in authority, this is one thing we need to look at. Live a life of integrity. Number two thing, keep your motives pure. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 says this, so whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. The team could come out right now. But motives are extremely big to the Lord. Have you noticed that? I love that story in the Bible, David. It talks about, you know, when Samuel was looking for the next king, right? He went to Jesse's house, and Jesse brought out all of his sons, to show him. And all these sons, they looked great on the outside. They were big. They were strong. They had all kinds of, I'm sure, skill and competence. But guess what? They weren't the ones that God chose to be king. The one that God chose to be king was out in the field serving. He was out there praising God, just loving God, not for what he could get, but just because he loved the Lord and was so thankful. His motives were pure. And what does it say in that passage? It says that God doesn't look on the outside, but God looks on the heart. God looks on what's behind things. So when you and I, when we're using the authority, we need to make sure that our motives are pure, right? We want to make sure, like, our binding and loosing shouldn't be leading to some kind of selfish ambition that we have, right? It shouldn't lead to hurting somebody else. Our motives have to be pure. And then number three, how do you stay in the name? Stay close to Jesus. Stay close to Christ. John chapter 15, verses 4 through 5, it says here, abide in me. That means live close to me. Stay connected to me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And this is so, so important because I think a lot of us, we think we're going to bear fruit without being connected to the vine. A lot of us are trying to, you know, get all these things to happen, and we're not living connected to Jesus. We're not living anywhere close to the Lord. You say, Daniel, how do I do that? Well, you know, Pastor talks about it all the time, our spiritual disciplines, right? Prayer, spending time in prayer, spending time in his word, surrendering your will each and every day to the Lord. There's no authority unless you're actually doing these things. You're just posing. You're just pretending. You're just saying a magic word like abracadabra. If I say in the name of Jesus, if I put it at the end of my prayer, something's going to happen. And that's not it at all. Back in the 1700s, there was a young man named David Brainerd. And he was a missionary to the Native Americans on the East Coast. He only lived to the age 29. But he did all kinds of amazing things for the Lord. He wrote a book. I encourage you to get it, The Diary of David Brainerd. And if you want to see somebody that loved the Lord with all of his heart, was connected to God, read this young man's writings. But biographers say he won all kinds of Native Americans to the Lord when, you know, really it was impossible to do at that time. And he had just an amazing ministry that really shifted the whole spiritual culture of the nation. But biographers say about him, the reason that he did great things was because he spent great time in prayer. And you know, it's the same thing for you and I. If we want to see authority, if we want to see great things happen, we got to spend great time in prayer. We got to spend great time with the Lord. We got to be connected to him. One time I was in the studio and I was recording. Me, you know, I'm a musician. I like to sing and record. I love music history and all these things. But I was in the studio and I was recording with a group of people. It wasn't me. I was just sitting in the control room behind the desk with some people, with a producer. And this gentleman was singing. And he was singing in the vocal booth and we're out there. And I was listening. It was so powerful. I mean, just really, really grabbed me. I was like, man, that is amazing. And the producer leaned over to me and he said, right there, that's blood on the tracks. I just kind of looked puzzled. I was like, blood on the tracks? What in the world? He just kind of, that's blood on the tracks right there. I was like, okay, well, what do you mean? He's like, that's real. He's not singing for a hit. He's not singing to make somebody happy. He's not singing to make money. He's singing something that's real, something that he's lived. That phrase, blood on the tracks. Bob Dylan had an album in 1975. It was called Blood on the Tracks. I was thinking about, you know, when I was way back in the 90s, I graduated high school. The year after I graduated, there was an album that came out, and it just captivated everyone's attention in 1998. It was massive, millions. And man, we didn't have streaming, Spotify, none of that. We had the old CD, you know what I'm talking about, in the visor. You remember those? CD, we had to go buy the CD, right? And it was called The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. Anybody remember that record? I got a witness over here. Amen. That was one of my, I think that's one of my top five favorite albums of all time. I mean, think of so many hits on that record. It was amazing. And I listened to that over and over. It crossed boundaries. It crossed all kinds of, you know, cultural boundaries. We're talking about different styles of music. And it's one of those records that, you know, I was like, man, it didn't even really, the production was great. There was even mistakes in the production. But you know what? There's just something about it. Not even necessarily, there's just something about it that grabbed. And then I saw an interview with Lauryn Hill around 2021. She was doing it with Rolling Stone magazine. And she said, you know, this album, it came from a real place. I was going through the worst time of my life, heartache. I was broken. I was disappointed. I was depressed. I was down. And I sang from something that was real. There was blood on the tracks. There was blood on the tracks. And I think that's what us as Christians, we got to realize, if we want this thing to work, there has to be blood on the tracks. What do you mean, Daniel? It has to be real to us. We have to live it. You can't get up here and sing and be acting the fool all week long. I can't be saying I'm a Christian and living totally contrary to that throughout the week. I'm talking to myself. I really am. I cannot be doing that and expect to see God's authority at work in my life. So I encourage you today, I want to leave you with this. Live authentically. If you want to see the authority work in your life, live authentically. Let what you say, let what you do be true. Let it be real, just like Lauryn Hill said there. Let's bow our heads right now. Let's close our eyes. Today, maybe you came in this place, and I'd like to do the altar call a little bit different today. Maybe you came in this place, and as the word went forth, maybe a light went on. Just like when I heard Dad say just a couple weeks ago, he said, you can't use the authority unless you're under authority. Maybe you're sitting here today, and the light just kind of went on in your spirit, and you say, Daniel, that's me. I haven't been living authentic to what I've been saying. Daniel, I haven't been living 100% for the Lord. I've been living one way in church, saying all the right things, but I've just been posing. I haven't truly been connected to Christ. I haven't truly been living in the name. I've been saying the name, but I haven't been living in the name. And today I want to get right. So today I thought that would be really cool, as if today if you're here and you say, I'd like to rededicate myself. I'd like to make a new commitment today to go 100%, to be exactly who I say I am all 7 days of the week, not live a divided life. I want to pray with you this morning. Would you raise your hand high across this place? If you say, Daniel, I want to do that, raise your hand. Thank you for those. Thank you. Put your hands. I'm going to wait. Raise your hands up all across this place. You're saying, Daniel, I want to go 100% for the Lord. Thank you. I'm just going to wait a couple more minutes here. I know the Holy Spirit's dealing with others of you. I want to live in the name. I don't just want to speak the name. Thank you. Thank you. You may put your hands down. All right, let's say this prayer. It's just going to be a prayer of consecration, a prayer of repentance today. And what we're doing is we're just saying, God, that's all in the past. Today's a new day. All right, here we go. Dear Heavenly Father, let's all say it. Dear Heavenly Father, forgive me for not living in the name. Forgive me for any type of hypocrisy, for any type of lukewarm living, for any type of sin or addiction that I've harbored. I ask you to forgive me and to help me walk in a new direction. Today, I commit to walk 100% for you. I commit today to walk 100% in your name, in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap. You can all stand to your feet right now. Our prayer partners are coming forward. And if you have any need in your life, maybe you'd like to start a relationship with Christ, or you just need prayer about anything, these folks are down here to help you and pray with you. I also want to encourage you, if you're new to our church, after the 11 a.m. service, we have a new people's party. And we're going to have some sugar fire barbecue and going to have some awesome pie. We encourage you just to stick around. You don't even need to reserve or anything like that. Just show up. We'd love to get to meet you and tell you more about our church. Well, again, just want to tell you, we love you. We thank God for you. And don't forget that God is for you. Have a great week.
Thanks for watching this week's message. One way for you to connect here at Church in the Rock is through the God is for you classes. These classes are designed to teach you about the culture, mission, and values of Church on the Rock, and about your God-given design. You can take these classes anytime by going to our website at cotr.org/God is for you. And if you want to know about all the incredible things we have here at Church on the Rock, make sure to visit our website at cotr.org. And never forget, God is for you.